Welcome to another edition of Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by TornbySports.com. And now our new home, or we've been there a while now, blogtalkradio.com/Jedi and Germs, where you can find all of our episodes. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. John, how are you?
I'm great.
Good. And Devin over there. Devin, how are you?
Dandy.
We're good, great, dandy. It's a good show. I want to address this before we jump into our topics. We did a poll. We have the poll results in, so we're going to try and tailor our show to fit what our listeners have requested, right?
Yes, they requested more Devin. So actually,
oh yeah, you know what? We did have one person request more Devin. I guess if we have to,
you know,
Devin.
We don't have to do what everyone says in the polls.
Sorry, Devin.
This is a dictatorship. This isn't a democracy.
Yeah, see, John's in the driver's seat. He's the dictator.
He's absolutely right. And the beautiful part is I can edit this so that is just me if I want it to be.
This is true. But no, interestingly enough, from our polls, everybody wants us to talk about the Jazz and the NBA more. Surprise, surprise. And with the season coming around, we're going to have a lot to talk about. So let's just jump right into it. We've got some news and things to talk about.
Well, the Vegas odds came out and we did our predictions last year. So we're going to do our predictions today. And as a reminder, last year, we all three of us went 18 of 30 in our over-under predictions and how the season played out.
So we were above 500.
We were above 500. So let's go through this. Let's do the East first.
Okay.
All right. Vegas has the Cavaliers line at 56.5. They won 57 games last year. Are you going over or under?
I'm going to go under. Early predictions like RPM that we did our show a couple weeks ago on that, it seems like everybody's just dropping a little bit under. I'm going to go just a little under.
Okay, I'm going to go over. I say they win 57 games again this year.
Devin?
Going over.
All right.
Celtics, 51.5. They won 40. I think I wrote this wrong. I think they won 48 last year. 51.5 this year. They got Al Horford. What say you?
They're still in the East Coast. I'm going to say over. 51.5 at most, maybe 52, but over nonetheless. Devin?
I'm going to go over as well.
John?
I'm going to go over as well.
Okay.
Right at 52. All right. Next is the Raptors, 49.5. They won 56 games last year.
I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go over, but just barely.
I'm going to go under just.
Okay. I'm not going to segue off of this too much, but do you realize how tough that division's going to be? Holy crap. I mean, isn't Boston and Toronto in the same division? That right there, that's your division. The two teams that are going to be battling it out. That's going to be one heck of a division race. So.
All right. Next is Pistons, 45.5. They won 44 games last year.
Over. Devin's thinking.
I'm going to go barely over.
This is tough. I'll go over.
Okay. Next.
All right. Next is the Hawks, 43.5.
Wow.
lost some players.
They lost some players. I'm almost ready. If I could call even, I'd call even. I don't think they're under, barely, or right there.
What do you mean right there?
Well, they're calling for 43. That's right about right for them, I think.
43.5.
Yeah, that's, I'll say under 43.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go under. I think Dwight will perform better than people are expecting. No, I really do.
I know. I'm sorry. I can't think of Dwight in a serious connotation. I just can't. Anyway, go ahead.
But I'm thinking they're going to come in just under that. You know, we're talking the 41 to 43 range.
Yep. Okay. So we're all under. Pacers, 43.5. Swap out George Hill for Jeff Teague. They won 45 games last year.
And they picked up Big Al. Under. I think that the East is just going to be top heavy. Like, there's going to be two or three teams again that are going to be at that 50 range, and everybody
I'm going
else
under
is
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I will continue the trend. Let's go under.
Okay, next, Wizards, 42.5. They won 41 games last year, had some injury issues.
Under. I don't think they're going to be any better.
Did they add anyone?
Not really. Not that I remember.
They added Morris.
Or they added Trey Burke.
Like in the middle of last season, didn't they?
One of the Morris twins?
Is that where he went?
I don't remember. But aside from that, yeah, Trey Burke, they added depth at the point guard position.
Let's not stretch things here.
Hey, we love Trey Burke on this show. Don't go there.
Yeah, they'll have a full year of Markieff Morris. Not really. I mean, Bradley Beal, John Wall, Ian Mahinmi, Gortat, Markieff Morris, Otto Porter.
Devin, just go the under, Devin. Just go the under.
If it's a contract year for Beal or Wall, I don't think it is.
No.
They're all locked up long.
I'm
going to take a chance on him.
I know John's going to go under on this one, too.
Yeah, I'm going under.
No, that Wall-Beal tandem.
Yeah, but Beal's that guy that just has never quite proven he's legit yet. Like, you said yes. Yes, but every year we say that, don't we? I'm just saying.
I'll take a risk. I'll take a risk on it.
All right. Bucks, 39.5. I am going under since Chris Middleton's news.
What was Chris Middleton's news again?
It's out for the year.
Okay. I'm going to go over barely.
I'm going to go under.
I think kid's on the hot seat this year.
I agree.
Even with Middleton's injury, you got Jabari Parker back. Greek freak.
Yep.
All right. Hornets, 39.5. Quite a drop because they won 48 games last year. But
they lost Big Al.
They lost some people.
They did.
They lost Big Al. Who else did they lose?
I don't remember who else they lost, but they have Batum, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Kemba Walker, Jeremy Lamb, Marvin Williams, Bellinelli.
They lost Lynn.
Frank Kaminsky.
Yeah, they did lose Lynn.
Jeremy Lynn.
Yeah, they did. I'm gonna go under. I'm going to go under.
I'm going over. Comfortably.
Ooh, comfortably.
I think they find a way to do it. You know, none of those guys, I think, are giant losses. It seems like they started to put it together later in the season last year, so.
That's another coach, though, that could be, I don't know, facing the music.
Take under. Bulls, 38.5.
Over.
They did win 42 games last year. They have
Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade.
Yep. I'm going to put a little faith in Dwayne Wade, and I'm going to put a little faith that Rondo pulls it together too. So.
Yeah, but this Bulls team doesn't have. There's no Rose, and I know that's not a big loss. There's no Noah. There's no Gasol. This is a completely different team. And just from what they have, I'm going to say 39 over.
Okay. There you go.
I'm going to go under. I am putting everyone under. I think this year the lopsided goes back to the West. All right, Knicks, 38.5.
Aren't they supposed to be like way over? Like they're supposed to win 82 games?
Well, you know, and our good buddy, I say our good buddy Jeff Hornacek, first year head coaching. You want to say over because I'd like to see him succeed, but I might have to say under on this
second
one too.
Year in Porzingis.
Yep.
You have Rose and Noah trying to resurrect their careers.
And Melo is always the constant, but is he really constant? I don't know.
Well, he's comes home with his third gold medal.
Yes, he did.
They added someone else. I can't remember who it was, though.
Yeah.
They have Carmelo, Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, Courtney Lee, Lance Thomas, Brandon Jennings, Porzingis, Kylo Quinn, Mindaugas Kuzminskas. He must have been an Olympic sensation.
I'm still going to go under.
That's about it.
Under.
Guillermo Hermann Gomez.
If you had asked
me... You're going under? I'm going over.
Are you really? Wow.
If you had asked me a few years ago, I'd be way over. But I am going to go under. I just think that lineup of guys is going to really struggle to put it together as a team.
Again, I want to give Jeff Hornacek all the hope in the world on this one, but I don't know.
I think Knicks at 39 wins could get the 8th seed this year. All right, Magic, 36.5. They did some weird changes to their team this year.
Yes, they did.
Going under. I don't want to. I would really like to see the Magic kind of put something together, but
I'm the same boat as you are, Devin. That's what I was just going to say, so I'm going under.
I have to go under. Just too combobulated. I like some of their pieces, but because I don't like how they mix with other pieces.
Right.
All right. The Heat, 36.5. Big drop off. We're in rebuilding mode now.
Question mark is still Chris Bosh.
He's done.
Yeah.
He's done in Miami.
Yeah. So And then Whitesides is your next. Whitesides and who's the guard?
Well, Whiteside and Dragic are signed for long term.
I'm not thinking of point guard. I'm thinking of the other guard.
Winslow.
Yeah. Winslow and Whiteside is your future there in Miami, which if I'm looking at it, those aren't a bad couple of players to build with, but I'm going to go under.
I'm going under.
I am going to say that if you are Pat Riley, you tank and you tank hard.
Good point.
Just start over. You've got some good pieces.
Is Spolster's job on the line?
Shouldn't be.
I don't think so. Not with what he has to work with. What's that, John?
I'm just seeing if they owe any picks next year. No, they don't. They own their first rounder. Yeah. You want a tank.
Yeah. And like I said, I don't think Spolstra's job is on the line. It shouldn't be. So
No. You've got a good coach. You've got a few good pieces.
Yep.
You tank, you try and pick up a really good draft pick, and then you see if you can make some moves next year in free agency or with the trade.
All right. Who else we got in the East? Is that about it?
Sixers, 27.5. This is the first year they're going to try to actually win.
Are they the last team in the East we haven't talked about?
No.
We still got one more.
Mm-hmm.
We still have the other dumpster fire. I'm going to go over, but barely.
You're going over?
Barely.
What was the number? Yes.
27.5.
I think they win 28.
I'm going to go under. And I feel like they should put it together, but I just get the feeling they won't.
I'm going to go under because they only won 10 games last year. So if they win 25, that's a nice improvement.
Well, that's a good point.
I'll tell you why, John. Here's why I'm going under. Because there is already unrest with their three big men. You heard it this week.
Yeah, that's true.
From Noel. That he doesn't see how this is going to work.
Well, and who's their other big man?
You've got Noel, you've got Embiid, yeah, and Okafor.
That's right. That's right.
And those three are not going to play well together.
No,
it's
they're
just not going to happen. So realistically, they should move someone and try and get one of those younger guys and try and get in a little bit more of a veteran presence and see if they can partner that with Simmons. Because you have it's again, you have good pieces, but I don't think you have the veteran leadership, and I don't think you have a cohesive team. I think you've just got guys that you're like, hey, this guy looks like he can play. This guy looks like he
right.
can play. And I don't think that's going to translate to wins, at least not this season.
Okay.
Well, then they got Elton Brand.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's move to the dumpster fire.
The Brooklyn Nets, 20.5. A reminder of their roster. Brook Lopez, Jeremy Lin, Luis Scola, Trevor Booker, Grievous Vasquez, Bojan Bogdanovic, Randy Foy, Ronda Hollis Jefferson, Anthony Bennett.
I don't even want to do this over under. Can I do an over under on how many times Luis Scola will flop? I mean, I'd rather do that than the over under on this team. I'm going to say under. I'm just going to put it there. Just under. Bad. Horribly.
They've got a former number one pick, though. If you could only see the look I'm getting, John. No, I will be stunned if they go over.
Yeah, even though they have no incentive to lose, I still think they're going to be the worst team in the NBA.
Agreed.
And it's weird because you rattled off names and there's decent role players. But there's nothing there that tells me they are going to be able to win basketball games.
Well, I mean, as I'm looking at this, Trevor Booker is probably their starting four. Hollis Jefferson, your starting three. Lopez is your center. Lin is your starting point guard.
Yeah, what you have here is your starters are backup players. You've got basically the same problem that the Jazz had years ago, but I feel like they're even worse off.
Your starting two is going to be, I think it would be Caris LeVert, but it might be Randy Foy. I don't know. It's just an ugly team. They've got Darren Williams stretched out. They waived Jarrett Jack. Anyway, yeah. Okay, that's the East. Now let's go to the West. All right. First up, the Warriors, 66.5.
Over.
Devin already jumps in over. I'm going to say over, but I don't know that they reach 70 wins. See there, I'm just putting it at realist.
I'm
going to
go over. I think they'll be content with a 68-win season.
See, that's what I'm thinking.
Next is the Spurs, 56.5. Tim Duncan did retire, but they did win 67 games last year.
What did you say, 66.5?
56.5.
I'm going to say over.
Yep, me too. I also saw that it looks like Tim Duncan's going to be taking a front office position with the Spurs.
Does that really surprise anybody?
Nope.
He should be a coach.
Clippers.
He could just,
eventually.
He could carry on Pop's legacy. I mean, think about that.
Yeah. Clippers, 53.5.
Under.
Yeah, I'm going to say under.
I'm going under, too. Jazz, 47.5. I'm going over.
I'm
going
to go over. I think we all were in that 47 range last year before injuries, and this year, assuming no injuries and they've got better depth, yeah, I'm going to say over.
50 wins.
Yeah, I saw that with their point differential. It should have been good enough for a 46-win season last year.
Yep.
But, you know.
And
Final 5 minutes.
I said on Twitter the other day they'd be 51-31, and I'm going to stand by that. That is my prediction.
All right, Blazers, 46.5.
Well, before we say anything, let's think about last year.
Oh, Devin, stop it. Then you answer first. 46.5. Are you going to go over or under?
What were they last year?
Their record. Hang on.
It's record? Okay. I can just
44 and 38.
Yeah, you said 46.5. I'm going to go under
46.5.
I'm thinking they end up at the 44 or 45 win mark.
I'm going to go under. I keep wanting to think that they're going to come down to earth after their overachieving last year, but they didn't overachieve. They got into the second round of the playoffs and gave Golden State a run for their money. But I'm going to say under.
I'm going to say under, even though I think they'll probably get 45, 46 wins, which is improvement. But I don't think they'll be able to get to 47. Next is the Thunder at 45.5.
Ooh, this one's a tough one.
It's Westbrook's team.
I'm going to say over. I don't think they get to 50 wins, but I'm going to say over.
45.5, you said?
John?
I'm going over.
Yeah, but Devin just asked, what was the number again?
Oh, last year?
No, 55? No. What is it? 45.5?
45.5.
They're going to get over it. 46. They're not getting far over it, but they'll get over it.
All right. Next is Grizzlies, 43.5.
Under.
I'm going to say over. I'm going to say they get to 45.
I'm going to go over as well. I just love Parsons on that team.
Okay, next.
Of course, if he gets injured, it's all for naught. But I like the idea of Conley, Parsons, and Gasol all working together.
Before we continue, mm-hmm. There was a player that was announced, I believe it was today or yesterday, that is out for the season. Somebody remind me who that was and what team he's on.
Pekovic on the Timberwolves.
Thank you. We'll get to that then. Okay, continue.
Rockets, 41.5.
I'm gonna stay in the West the way we have been. Other than the Blazers, I'm gonna stay over on this one too. I think they'll be over.
You do realize that James Harden is now the starting point guard, right?
Yes.
Backcourt's gonna be Harden and Gordon.
I'm gonna still say over.
Under.
Oh wait, that's right. You said Eric Gordon. Ooh. All right, I'm going to go under.
No,
I am changing that right now. No, I didn't take back.
You
realized
your bet.
No, he just started giving me who the lineup is, and that changed my mind. Under.
John, can he do that?
I can click Control Z and it's done. So
the look that Devin is giving me though.
All right, Timberwolves 41.5.
And this is where Pekovic comes into play because he's huge for them.
I don't think he comes into play. He hasn't had a
you don't think so?
No,
he hasn't had a healthy season in a while.
Oh, maybe
he
that's
played
where
12 games last year.
Okay, my bad. I think they're hoping he retires. You said 41.5?
41.5. I'm going under.
They're in the toughest division, I think, in the West. Really, the most competitive. I'm gonna go under.
I'll go under. I think they're gonna make a jump, and I think they will compete for the eighth seed. Now how that's going to shake out, I'd have to look at really what we've said, but I can see them getting to like 38.
I mean, you have four.
I think they'll make a jump, but they only won 29 games last year.
But you look at it, you have four teams right there in this the division the Jazz are in that are legitimate contenders for playoff seeds next year. That division is just going to be crazy good.
All right, next is the Mavericks, 39.5.
Remember last year on this one too, everybody? Remember how we picked them to be just under and the Jazz would go ahead of them? So we need to pick wisely on this one too.
Yep, under. Dirk's getting old.
I'm going to say over, and I think they're going to be battling Minnesota for that eighth and final spot.
I am going to go under. I think the Magic finally evaporates. They just don't have enough pieces with Dirk.
Mind you, they did bring in, you know,
Bogut, Barnes.
Yeah. Bogut and Barnes.
Their starting five is Darren Williams, Wesley Matthews, Harrison Barnes, Dirk Nowitzki, Andrew Bogut. A lot of injury questions there, and then they're very thin on the bench.
Wait just a minute. That lineup that you just named, several years ago, that would be like a dream Jazz lineup.
Right?
Yeah. When you think about it, we've been like, yeah, we'll take Bogut. He played up the street, and we've got Darren and Wes, so...
Yeah, Wes Matthews was great here. We all wanted Harrison Barnes, but Golden State tanked that year to keep their draft pick, and...
Yeah, exactly.
Dirk is Dirk.
Yep. All right. Next.
Pelicans, 36.5.
This is one of those years, again, where I want to root the Pelicans on. I want to see Anthony Davis succeed and stuff.
They're wasting him.
But I'm just going to say under. Unfortunately, under.
They are wasting him.
You going under or over? You're going under, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going under until they
I'm going under
until they show us something that they can actually put it together. They're wasting him.
Agreed.
I don't like the roster around him, but I mean, Alvin Gentry's coaching job was just awful last year.
Atrocious.
Yeah. I don't know that they're regretting letting Monty go. All right, next is the Nuggets at 34.5.
I'm going to say over.
I am going over as well.
Yeah, I'll take the over.
There are too many pieces on that team I like. Next is the Kings, 32.5. Last year they won 33 games, and it was the first time in 7 years that they had won at least 30 games in the season.
Somebody's going to be getting his boogie on. I'm going to say over, barely. I think they'll match last year's win total or more.
I think they'll go under.
Yeah. I
think too many questionable roster changes. I mean, they drafted like four centers and you have Boogie.
These teams like this, like Sacramento, are so difficult to call in this situation too. I don't know how Vegas is able to pull these numbers out. It's so difficult though.
You think they trade Cousins?
I think they would if the package was right, but I mean, they would want every time I listen to someone from Sacramento on a national show, they say that the only way the Kings will part with Cousins is if they just get everything back. If they just get like multiple first round picks and an all-star and just all kinds of deals. See, because they love Cousins and he is the one star there, even though they lose every year.
Is he locked up, though?
Two more years. This would be an optimal... If he's going to get traded, it would have to be this midseason.
This is the shopping year, because otherwise you run into this... The Carmelo fiasco.
Do you think he really cares right now, though? Cousins, I don't know that I've heard him outspoken yet. Does it matter to him at this point in time?
Who?
Cousins.
About what?
Does what matter to him?
I mean, you guys are talking about whether they move him or not and whether he goes elsewhere. I mean, does it really... I just wonder if he cares.
Does
if he
it
gets
matter
paid.
If they move him?
I wonder
oh,
if
Oh, no. I think he cares. I think he wants Sacramento to be a good team. He's just...
Because I don't seem to get that vibe from him right now that he just likes playing and stuff, but I don't get the vibe of I'm going to start grumbling because this team's horrible because he's getting paid and it seems like he doesn't care. I mean, am I wrong to make that assumption? It just, that's the vibe I get.
I don't think it's that. I think he's been a problem for his first few years in the league. I think he took some steps this last year and I expect those steps to continue this year. I don't underestimate the value of him playing on the Olympic team and being around all these winners. I think he wants to be a winner too. My thing this year is that I just don't like the roster around him. And they need some guys to just make some leaps in order for this team to succeed. And Rudy Gay has already said that he intends to opt out of his contract next year and not re-sign with the Kings. So you already have that going into this season. Their second best player saying, I don't want to be here.
I got one for you. Didn't Cousins make the All-Star team last year? Yes or no?
Did he?
I don't remember if he got picked or ended up on it. I don't remember. I wonder if this is the year where Derek Favors gets heavy consideration because they're playing well and he ends up kind of surpassing Cousins in the new favorite at power forward. And maybe that's what puts the itch and the burr under his saddle.
Yeah, he made the All-Star team.
Yeah, so I wonder if he doesn't make it this year and Derek Favors ends up being that guy this year, I wonder if that puts a burr under his saddle and we'll hear some grumbling at the end of the year.
That could be anyone. You think about Big Cat.
I'm just saying, though.
He wasn't an All-Star last year. It doesn't have to be Favors for that to happen. But realistically, if I'm Sacramento...
I mean, we still haven't had Hayward be an All-Star yet.
Right.
They need to move him because otherwise he's leaving and he's going to Washington.
Wow. You heard it here first.
But Washington doesn't have enough pieces. Washington would have to send.
No,
they would want John Wall.
No,
You're talking about Washington having a bunch of bigs already. So there's your pieces. They send one of those bigs packing over to Sacramento in some sort of a move. Why not?
No,
they want more.
Everything I'm hearing from anyone out of Sacramento that you have to have an impressive package if you want to. Hey, UDQM. the way Wizards are getting Cousins is like at least Wall or Beal and 2 first round picks.
Sorry.
Need a minute?
We know what you said was important. It was just
that would be an impressive package, John.
And then to hear you grumble, oh, that is a UDQM. Okay, all right, yeah.
No, I'm not saying that they're going to make the trade with Washington. I'm saying that if he is a free agent, Washington is a place I can see him wanting to go.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't see that trade working out there. Where it would work out, I honestly can't tell you.
I don't know. All right, who else?
Celtics were interested, but I think at this point the Celtics like their team enough that they're not going to blow it up just to get Cousins.
Oh, agreed. No, especially with picking up Horford.
So,
yeah, okay.
Let's get to the rest of the West.
Get moving. Suns, 26.5.
Under.
Another situation where I want to root on Watson, but I'm going to have to say under.
I'm going to go over.
Just a tad.
They had a great draft. And, you know, if their pieces are healthy, then they have serious potential. If you have Bledsoe and Knight both healthy, and then you throw in their promising raw rookies, but Bender and Chris both look like they're going to be good. You have the second year of Devin Booker. That three-headed backcourt of Bledsoe, Knight, and Booker, I think is going to be special. All right, and the last one is the Lakers at 24.5.
Under.
Under. They're going to be battling it with Brooklyn for the worst team in the NBA.
I think Brooklyn will easily be a worse team than the Lakers, but Lakers just don't have enough pieces. They signed Mozgov to a ridiculously huge contract. They signed Luol Deng, so it means that they've already announced that Brandon Ingram is going to be coming off the bench for them. They got issues.
Did they fire their coach?
Yeah, they got Luke Walton.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, right. Remember? Yeah. They brought back Mr. Darling himself. Anyway. Okay.
All right, we're set. They're locked in. We have some differences. It'll be interesting to see how this goes.
Last year, 18-12. We'll see if we improve on that this year.
Yep.
Okay. So that's our Vegas odds, Vegas predictions. Let's move on to the biggest news of the week, of the month, really. We had Jazz Media Day yesterday and opening of training camp today.
I'm hoping you guys paid attention to this because I didn't really get a chance to watch much. I've listened to Locke's podcasts on it, and that's about it.
I did go out to SoundCloud, which, by the way, everybody listening, if you haven't had a chance to listen to 1280, and I'm at work and can't listen, you can go out to SoundCloud if you have it. They post everything on SoundCloud. I mean, they post it on their website, but I have SoundCloud, and I'm able to access it there. It's really nice. They posted a whole bunch of different tidbits, interviews, and I listened to quite a few of them today. A lot of great sound bites. One of my favorites was from Quinn. They talked to him and asked him about, I think it was Spence that asked him about advanced stats and whether that goes into his thinking when it comes to, in-game rotations and lineups and things. And he says some of it does, but then he proceeded to talk and he kind of transitioned it into what his expectations are this year. Quinn talked about late games. The late game finishes, talked about how, and he seemed to be very aware of the numbers. He said that the Jazz were very, very good offensively in the late games, but they were really not very good. In fact, I think he said 27th in the NBA in defense. And I could be throwing a number out there, but he said it was pretty bad. So one of the things I think he plans to focus on is their defensive their mental focus on defense to close out games. And that's one of the things they're going to focus on in camp, I think, as well as the season progresses too. But that's one of the things I heard him say. Devin, did you catch much of it?
No.
The other thing I heard him say is that they're going to be running a lot of scrimmages through, it sounds like he's going to run them hard in camp, which is good. I think that's his plan. A couple of interesting notes. Joe Johnson, really cool to listen to, talked about how, because Spence asked him as well as George Hill, he asked them both, you know, if Quinn makes a decision down the stretch in a game and they're both on the bench and they lose the game, how are they frustrated they're going to be? And it was very interesting to hear both veterans come back and say, you know what? Joe Johnson in particular says, hey, we all make mistakes. If a mistake is made in the end of the game, coach will own up to it. We'll own up to it. We'll respect that. And that's how we go forth. He says, they talked about minutes and Johnson says, I'm not interested in how many minutes I'm going to get. He goes, I'll take whatever coach gives me. It was kind of interesting to hear him talk. I think he's prepared to take a more mentor approach. And one of the things out of camp is that it's already happening. He's mentoring Rodney Hood, which I think is great. So there's some sound bites I've heard so far. From what you listened to from Locke, what did you gather, John?
Well, I'm getting anxious with all the preseason chatter and hype and talk and discussions and theorizing and ponderizing and I've heard plenty of things to get excited about, and I can't listen to it too much because I don't want to think about it anymore. I want it to actually be here.
Right.
And so we're finally going to get our fix with our first preseason game next week. I'm looking forward to all these storylines. I love hearing how George Hill is mentoring Dante Exum, or how he didn't really appreciate how good Hayward is until he came here and played with him himself. I love all that stuff. I'm ready for some data. I'm ready for some preseason looks and something to actually feed off of.
The other thing that Coach mentioned, and it seemed the theme throughout, was that the camaraderie that they're building amongst each other, the chemistry they're already building. Joe Johnson even spoke of the fact that since he came to Utah, they've been playing a lot of pickup ball with each other. Not even training camp, just pickup ball. And I think that's pretty cool, too, that these guys are getting together when they really don't have to. And they're playing some ball with each other, and they're getting together, and they're hanging out, and they're getting to know each other. Hayward, for heaven's sakes, the guy stuck around in the offseason in Utah, not just for his baby, but stuck around and worked out. These guys are building a relationship, and I think that's huge, especially with the new additions going into the season. I'm like you. I'm ready. Can we just get this underway? Because I'm excited to see it form and to see it go somewhere. So, Alec Burks was another interesting interview. And I'm sure you heard this from Locke. It sounds, I mean, Locke was suggesting, and even with Burks talking, I'm excited about Burks because he's come out of his shell. Remember a couple of years ago when the guy just was not a good interview, and you would hear him. He was very, stiff when they talked and stuff. You remember that? This interview he did the other day, very laid back, very just, I mean, he seemed ready, but he seems very positive. He's like, I'm excited to get back out. He says, I feel like I have more explosiveness than I've ever had. But even Locke pointed to the fact that while that's true, it seems like Burks is not 100% yet. And it sounds like he's not going to go until he is 100%. And he recognizes that as an individual. When I'm 100%, then I'll play. And until then, I won't. And I'm excited for that too. That's another addition to the team that we hope sticks around for 82 games and can play well, and I think would be good. So
yeah, I saw that about him and how, I mean, they could hold him out until opening night,
which wouldn't surprise me.
Hope he gets into some preseason games, but yeah, they want to be safe.
Yep. So that's all the news I know of out of camp, out of training camp, and all the things I kind of brushed by most of it. Jazz news, you mentioned part of our topic tonight, a part of our notes, Brad Jones.
Yeah, he's the last holdover from the Ty Corbin days. He's not going to be coaching this team next year. I'm not sure where he's going, if he's going somewhere else or if he's taking some kind of job somewhere else within the Jazz organization, but he will not be one of the assistant coaches this year.
And to Brad, we wish good luck. So enjoyed having him around. I mean, it was cool that he was a part of it, but yeah, hate to see him go, but good luck, whatever he does.
Yeah.
Other NBA news, Mo Williams. I don't know if we mentioned this earlier. Mo Williams retires from the Cavs. And then of course, Pekovic, which we've already talked about. Are there any other news, NBA news? Oh, Paul Pierce announces yesterday this will be his last season.
Yeah, that's garbage, man. That's garbage. That's the same thing
that Kobe did. Is that what you're saying? I was waiting for one of you to bring that up.
You know, he just wants the treatment, the same treatment Kobe got, and I hope people don't give it to him because this is just getting ridiculous.
Yeah, Kevin Garnett retired. Tim Duncan retired.
Oh, and by the way,
no parades, no year long worship me.
And by the way, Kevin Garnett made it official and quiet like last week on Instagram, for heaven's sakes. It was a video. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was a quick little short montage on Instagram to say goodbye, and that was it.
You know, if I'm going out, that's how I want to go out. I want people to remember me for my game. I don't want to be remembered for the parade that I threw for a whole season.
Fair enough.
Yep.
So, all right. I think that last of our notes. You have any other notes? I can't think of anything else.
No, not really. Let's go to the next section.
So, all right. So next up, we'll talk listener feedback. All right. So let's talk about, you posed a question again, and our listeners seem to like this segment, listener feedback questions. We got a few questions over Twitter. Let's go ahead and hit all three of them. Was it three or four of them? Let's go ahead and hit them up.
Okay. First question, is this season the return of AB part two? This time it's personal.
So we addressed a little bit of whether he'll come back healthy. I mean, what do you think, John? Is this the return of AB?
I'm rooting for it, but this is a make or break year, honestly. If he gets injured again, or if he just underperforms, then he's going to lose playing time. His position on the roster is much more competitive this year.
Yes, it is.
So he has to step it up. It's all up to him.
And I'm no bones about it. I'm a big AB fan, and I have been since the Jazz drafted him. I love the guy. I love his game. I agree. It's a make or break year for him. And judging from, again, from Media Day's conversations, and again, it's all talk until it happens. He talked about the fact that he still has his explosiveness, but that he's going to pick his moments. See, that's what we need from Burks. In the past, he would just go in and just let loose. He needs to be able to pick his moments. I think he says he plans to shoot more. I hope he does, because when he shot last year, he shot 40% from 3-point line. So I'd like to see that more. I'd like to see him shoot. Maybe he fits into the offense a little bit better. So I'm rooting for that to be the case, that this is the return of AB.
Could it be? Absolutely. But will it be? I don't know. I have my doubts. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I saw something that said he is not 100% right now.
Yeah, that's what you're just talking about. That's true.
The important thing is not to rush into this, because you don't have to. You have other guys. You have depth.
Right.
So bring him back slow. Work him into the rotation and let him get that confidence back and just that feel for the game.
Well,
but if they throw him right back into it.
And they won't. Burks even said that. When I feel 100%, I'll go. And Quinn even said, look, when the doctors say he's ready and when Burks said he's ready, then we'll give him more time. But even Quinn says we're going to ease him back in. And they knew it. Burks said, look, hey, at the end of the last season, I came in too quickly. At the end of the season, I came in too quickly and tried to play. It didn't work. I had to go back to the bench and look, you know, and in the offseason, that surgery. So I think he's very cautious about coming back at 100% and nothing less.
I think he will come back. I think he will play well. I think he will stay healthy, but I do not think that you will see Burks play the role that you want him to this season. I think there is too much depth. I think between Hood, Johnson, Hayward.
But if he's hitting from 40% downtown and he's taking 3 or 4 threes a game,
I don't see it happening.
I'm good with that. I mean, the guy's been shooting 39% to 40% for 2 years in a row now. I'm okay with
Alan,
that.
Alan, you had your chance to speak. Let me have my piece.
I am giving you your piece. So you
you've got so many talented people this year that, yeah, he can come back, but you're not going to see Burks playing 25 minutes a game. I think you'll see him maybe settle in at like a 12 to 17 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's where he'll start out, 12 to 17 minutes. Last year he was 25 minutes a game. But, you know, he was only 31 games last year, only 27 games the year before. So he's going to have to prove that he can play more minutes than that. And he's going to have to beat out other guys for those minutes. And if he can beat out other guys for those minutes, great, because that means he's that much better.
And he will beat out those other guys. So there.
All right. Next question. What is your favorite aspect of attending a Jazz game in person? It's hard for me to pick one favorite, but I would have to say, well, in addition to like getting to meet Jazz Twitter in real life, that's cool. I mean, that's how I met you guys. I got to know you guys over Twitter, and then I got to actually meet you in person at Jazz games. And like Devin, I believe we've only seen each other twice.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it's been like two or three times, and it's always been at Jazz games.
Yep.
Yeah, and I love that about Jazz games, and getting to meet a lot of other people that way. I love being in the crowd and feeling like you're part of the experience. You know, it's your cheering, it's your booing, it's your participation that's helping your team along. And I love when the players feed off of that. And I also love that when you go, you never know when you're going to have that experience that you just remember for years and years. I happened to be at that game when Derek Fisher flew in during halftime and came into the game at the third quarter to help them beat the Warriors.
All right. I just had chills.
And advance in the playoffs. And that was such a cool experience. And it's my second favorite Jazz moment ever, probably because I was there in person to experience it.
And
that's my favorite.
I'm with you. I don't think I think that pretty much sums up my experience. So my favorite is the crowd. My favorite is when everybody gets into it. So I don't think I can add anything to what you said, John.
I would say the fact that it's a three-dimensional experience, because when you're home watching the game, it's just you staring at a screen. But when you're in that arena and everywhere you turn, it's Jazz fandom. It is the numbers hanging from the rafters. It's the concessions. It's the person next to you cheering or booing or just being, you're just fully engulfed in the experience, like you said, John. I love that. I also love the fact that when I go to these games, it's something different for me. I like the fact that I can put my phone away and whoever I'm there with usually is someone that I can talk basketball with. And I've been to a lot of games with Alan, and it's just been great to actually have those discussions of what we're seeing rather than, you know, just a tweet here or there, sitting home watching the game by yourself. I love that.
Yeah.
Last year, I was lucky enough to go and see them when they played the Cavaliers in that late night game, and I sat lower bowl. I had fantastic seats, and it was the one where the Jazz won in pretty impressive fashion.
Yep.
And I went with Sean, who's one of the listeners from our show, and he and I, we've known each other for a solid, probably about 10 years almost. And that was the first time I think we had ever watched a basketball game together. I mean, we're talk basketball weekly, play yep. basketball weekly.
Yep.
But that was one of those moments where just to be able to have that conversation and live in that moment and have that experience and see that up close. You know, to see LeBron James in the flesh, it was just awesome. You know, and you can watch it on TV. You know, I'm never going to forget watching the finals this year. But more exciting than that is having seen him in person and just what an athlete he is. Because you can see it on TV, but when you sit lower bowl and you're close to those guys, it's completely different.
Yep.
And if you want to find that experience, go to a summer league game and sit in those really, really good seats that you can get for like $10 a night and just see how big and how strong those guys are. It's just amazing.
It's true. All right. We have one more question, don't we?
That's all I got.
Devin, you had one more.
Yeah, we had one more. Let me find that really quickly. It comes from Cameron Beck, C. Beck U of U on Twitter. And he said, you have to trade one, extend one, and cut one.
On the team.
And your three players are Exum, Lyles, and Hayward.
Trade one, cut one.
And extend one.
And extend one. John, I'm putting this one on you first.
Trade one, cut one, extend one. So you're losing two of them?
Yes, and the options, the choices are Hayward, Exum, and who was the other?
And Lyles.
Okay. Extend Exum, trade Hayward, cut Lyles.
Wow, you went different than I fully expected you would there, but okay. Man.
I think you extend Exum because he has the most potential to be a superstar. I think you trade Hayward because you can get the most for him right now of those three, and therefore Lyles is left to be the one cut.
And, man, right, well, starting this season, I'm already looking and hoping that the Jazz extend Hayward. So, like I said, you threw me for a loop. My first choice was going to be to extend Hayward. And then you're left with Lyles and Exum, and based on current circumstances, Lyles would probably be the guy I cut, and then Exum would be the one I trade. But I'd have a tough time with either one of those situations or scenarios. Devin?
It is a horrible question. It's like, yeah, you have three children, kill two of them.
Yeah. Devin, this question was posed to you, Devin. You go ahead and answer it. The floor's yours, man.
Okay. So I'm torn because of the points that you both brought up. And that's what I had thought first, because my immediate reaction was, well, we're trading Hayward. Because you can get something in return. Those other guys, you can get something, but you're not going to get much. But in doing so, you are giving up your biggest playmaker and essentially the glue and the heart of this Jazz team. And so it really depends on what you want to do. Do you feel like you can build around Gordon? Or do you feel like you're not ever going to get over the hump and you need to take a risk on one of those other guys? Because you can extend Lyles or you can extend Exum. Between those two, I would take the risk on Exum before I did on Lyles. But I don't know, you know, if you're keeping the rest of the team intact, that's my condition. If you're keeping this team intact, then I am trading Hayward.
But see, based on current circumstances, I don't know that you can legitimately say I would extend Lyles or Exum yet. Neither one is in a situation where I feel currently they're in that position to be extended. Like, you can't look at them and say, you're good, dude. You're good for the future.
But you can get something back for Hayward. I would cut Lyles because you have favors. I feel like you can kind of find a replacement player. And I extend Exum because I feel like he has that potential and there is a need there that he can fill more so than Lyles can.
All right. So we've just killed two kids and kept one. We've named our favorite and pretty much trashed the other two. Let's move on. Thanks for the questions. We appreciate the listener feedback questions. They're great. They do encourage thought. And they're great. They're wonderful. So just so our listeners know, we really wouldn't want to get rid of any of those players. But if we had to, there's your thoughts. So, all right. No more further questions. Let's jump into Devin's quick hits.
Really?
Yes, Devin. Really? Devin, okay. It's your turn. Devin's quick hits.
Man. All right. Well, I guess the big news that we can see, and we're going to keep this open to all sports, the passing of Jose Fernandez.
Yes.
Very sad moment for all of Major League Baseball, especially for Miami. But did you guys happen to see the video of the home run hit last night?
Yeah, I saw actually two videos. One of their touching goodbye, I guess, at the pitcher's mound. But then, yes, the home run. That was crazy good.
Yeah, very, very special moment. He takes a pitch.
John, did you see it?
No, I haven't.
You need to watch because his teammate, D. Gordon, steps up, takes a pitch the opposite style of how he hits in the form of Fernandez. And on the next swing, he cracks the ball over the right fence for a home run. It's just, you can just see the emotion and the crowd. It's one of those.
And yeah,
it's a movie moment, John. That is every moment.
He held it together through all three bases. When he got to home, he lost it, completely lost it. And his teammates met him and hugged him. And he was just bawling by that point in time.
So no, that's a very special moment there. Or, you know, thoughts and prayers are with the Fernandez family, the Miami Marlins. Is it the Marlins?
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, sad moment there. Transitioning to other sports news, we talked briefly about Anthony Davis. I saw an article that he grew an inch in the offseason. Will that matter?
No.
I can't see I can't see that making any difference for them.
No, I don't think so.
Is something funny, Alan?
No, not at all. Can we continue? Next.
All right. College football, you've got a clash of two heavyweights. Clemson will play Louisville, and Heisman frontrunner Lamar Jackson, who I believe racked up 7 more touchdowns.
Good heavens.
So who are you taking in that game?
Louisville, and Lamar Jackson goes off for another 4. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good round number, round figure.
Man, I would love to pick Louisville, but I think Clemson's a legitimate stud team this year. I'll probably be rooting for Louisville when I watch that game.
And I think if I have to pick, I'm going with Louisville after what they did to Florida State. I mean, they made Florida State look like an FBS team. So, let's see what else we have. J.J. Watt re-injures his back, will be placed on the injured reserve list.
Saw that.
So Texans turning to, is it JaVale Clowney, former number one pick, to anchor their defense?
No idea.
Big loss for the Texans?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, their season already looks like it's in danger of being over, and this just kind of kills it. I mean, Osweiler hasn't been the solution they hoped he was. A quarterback.
All right. And one more, just for good measure, let's wrap up on NBA. Doc Rivers, talking about the LA Clippers versus the Golden State Warriors, says, "I don't feel like there's a gap." John, is there a gap?
There's no gap. What gap?
Yes, there's a gap.
Oh my word.
I don't have a lot of faith in the Clippers this year, you know. I picked the under. Well, we all picked the under on them.
I almost want to think that it's intentional by Doc Rivers to just say this, not because he believes it, but because I don't know.
I think you have to say it as a coach.
I don't think he believes it, though. I mean, let's be honest. Would you think he would believe that?
Well, I want to stop and think about this. When you just look at the players, Chris Paul is one of the greatest point guards, I would say, to ever play the game. Steph Curry is one of the greatest shooters to play the game. But Paul isn't bad himself, and I would say that Chris Paul is a better facilitator than Curry is.
Oh, without a doubt.
So there is a gap there when you look at the shooting, but otherwise, I'm almost giving the edge to CP. Now, when you're looking for a spot-up shooter, you've got Klay Thompson. On the Clippers side, you've got J.J. Redick. Is Thompson better, younger, you know, a longer player? Yeah, but I feel like there is at least a good matchup there in terms of who's going to hit the shot for you. True?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. KD, arguably a top three, top two player in the world right now. Blake Griffin, if he can put his game together, has all the tools to be a traditionally great power forward, does he not?
We've been saying if about him for 3 years now, though.
Right. But I'm just saying, you do this. You look at DeAndre Jordan.
I know.
One of the best defensive people.
I mean, ultimately, you're looking at it position by position. I know. And you're right.
Is there a gap? Yeah, but...
Yes.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Take the three best players off of the Warriors and the three best players off of the Clippers, and who's a better team? So Clippers, you take off Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin. Who do you have left? You have J.J. Redick. old man Jamal Crawford, old man Paul Pierce, you know, what? Maurice Spates, Golden State Warriors. You take off Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and Klay Thompson, and you still have Draymond Green. You still have Andre Iguodala. You still have Sean Livingston.
Wait.
You still have Pachulia.
Old man Andre Iguodala.
Old man Andre, but I think old man Andre is going to be better than old man Pierce.
Yes.
And you know, they even got David West for cheap down their bench, so they've got a ton of talent.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing of the rich getting richer, is it not?
It is.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what happens. Once you start winning, people want to start coming over to your team and they'll play for less money.
Oh, and by the way, I just read on ESPN this evening that Steph Curry's already talking about extension. So,
yeah, quote, yes.
Yeah.
Were his words.
Yep.
And we'll see how that plays out, because it'll be interesting with the money trying to get four superstars to fit
there.
He'll
be a free agent next year.
All right.
He'll be a free agent. Durant will be a free agent because you know he'll opt out.
Yep.
Over half of the Warrior team will be free agents at the end of the year. So it'll be interesting to see where they go.
Yes, it will.
The ones wrapped up are Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. Everyone else is up in the air.
Right. All right. That's quick hits. I want to include one last thought that you didn't bring up. Was that all of our quick hits?
Yeah, but we totally missed college football. How did our picks do?
I don't know.
I was two for two.
Yeah, I was probably 0-2, wasn't I?
I was two for two.
Yeah. So one last thing before we move on to our final segment, I want to take a minute to one thing you didn't mention in quick hits. The sports world lost a great yesterday, day before. Was it yesterday, day before? Arnold Palmer, the great golfer, passed away. So, you know, just take a moment to you know, everybody that understands the game of golf and remembers, knows the game of golf, knows who Arnold Palmer is, one of the all-time greats. So sad to see an all-time great move on, but hey, he was up there. It was time. So,
yep.
We bid you adieu.
And the creator of a fantastic drink. You know, it's one of those names. Before I knew Arnold Palmer, the golfer, as terrible as this is, I knew Arnold Palmer, the 50-50 blend of iced tea and lemonade. So he will be remembered on the cans of the Arizona tea.
There you go.
By fans for a long time. I hope they do like a memorial can, or you know what I mean? Something.
Yeah, there you go.
Something for him. That'd be cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's finish off. Let's cap off this great show with a discussion and pop culture. In fact, I'm looking forward to hearing what John has to say about The Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, Hollywood loves to do remakes, and this is another remake that no one is really clamoring for, but I thought they did a good job with it. I enjoyed the original. I never did see The Seven Samurai, which is the original, but that's on my bucket list. But this one, you know, it takes the basic premise. You have a town that's overrun by a bad guy and his henchmen. And so the townspeople seek outside help to get rid of them. And this is a plot device that's been used in everything from Three Amigos to A Bug's Life. Antoine Fuqua is the director, and he's directed about half of Denzel Washington's movies lately. He did Training Day. He did The Equalizer. This movie is exactly what it sets out to be. It's just a fun Western. A lot of good characters.
Give the lineup of stars in this again. I'm trying to rack my brain to remember all.
Yeah, it's Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt, Ethan Hawke, Vincent D'Onofrio, Byung-Hun Lee, and then two lesser known guys, Manuel Garcia Rufol and Martin Sensmeyer. Those last two guys, Manuel Garcia Rufol, his biggest role so far has been on From Dusk Till Dawn, the series. I don't know how many people have been able to watch that. And then Martin Sensmeyer's a Native American, and his biggest role up to date has been on a couple episodes of WGN's Salem. So those two are obscure, but the other five are pretty well established, and they're just bringing the seven together.
How was Chris Pratt?
Chris Pratt was fun. He was fun, and he did have some menace to his character, which was nice. I really enjoyed Ethan Hawke in this movie. He played this legendary sharpshooter named Goodnight Robichaux, and then Byung-Hung Lee was his sidekick named Billy Rocks, who's really good at knives, and I liked the two of them together. And Vincent D'Onofrio he's kind of regained the spotlight by playing Kingpin in the Daredevil series. He plays this weird mountain man trapper who's kind of eccentric, and he was a lot of fun. There are a lot of characters I really enjoyed, and the middle of the movie lets you get to know each of them so that you're actually rooting for them to succeed, and you don't want any of them to die. And so that, I thought that was really effective. The part I did not like in the movie was the main villain. The main villain was so over the top, hammy, cartoony, mustache twirling evil that I just couldn't enjoy anything with him. It was just way over the top. You know, he walks into a church and they start shooting people, and then they set the church on fire, and the townspeople are just helpless and can't do anything. It was just so ridiculous. But, you know, that just means you want the seven to come in and kill everybody. So right. Overall, I liked it.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's received really good reviews so far that I've seen, you included. And from what I've seen of the previews, the marketing, I want to see this film, and I think I'm going to have to take an opportunity to see it here soon. So yeah, Magnificent Seven, everybody go see it. Last note I want to make in our pop culture segment is, John, you and I talked about some stuff last week, and one of the last shows I mentioned is a movie you weren't fond of. Do you remember what movie that was?
No.
Van Helsing?
Seventh Son? Oh, Van Helsing, yeah.
Guess what Sci-Fi just started on Friday? Sci-Fi TV just started a series called Van Helsing.
A Van Helsing series?
Yes. Huh. And it is starring a woman. And her name is Vanessa. She is Van Helsing. It has, I've watched the first two episodes. The verdict is out for me still, but it has zombie apocalypse meets vampire killer, if you know what I mean. So it's got some zombie apocalypse elements to it. I don't know how I feel about that. Some of it was interesting.
And it has the Swede in it. That's interesting.
Yes. The creator of the show, former BYU grad, who's done a few TV series, including had some Sundance Film Festival stuff. His name is... just had him up, sorry. Neil LaBute. Neil LaBute, I guess. Looking him up. He's done a few shows.
He did In the Company of Men, which was great. It's just a brutal movie, and he's kind of been struggling lately. He hasn't had a lot of success lately, so that's very interesting that he would dive into something like this.
Yeah. So, and it's, I mean, the premise is that this gal, Vanessa, is the long lost descendant, or long lost, I don't know if long lost is the right word, but a descendant of the original Van Helsing. So the premise interested me, the show was interesting, but the zombie apocalypse thing for me still put it over the top a little bit. I would have to gauge my interest after maybe the third or fourth episode, but right now I would say it's an iffy. I don't know if I'd want to spend too much time in it. So I watched it, and I thought the next time we talk about this, I wanted to bring it up because, you know, we talked Van Helsing. So just if you get a chance, it's on Sci-Fi every Friday. This last Friday was the first. They did two episodes that night, actually. So you get a minute, check it out. Yeah. And that should wrap up. Anything else to add to pop culture? No? All right.
Nope.
That wraps up a fully loaded episode of Jedi and Germs. We got a chance to talk a lot of NBA this week. Hope you guys all enjoyed it. Check it out. Check out the Vegas odds and, give us your thoughts on the over-unders that we talked about. Is there anything you disagreed with in there? Also, Jazz Media Days, what things stood out to all of you? Let us know. Get at us and over Twitter, Jedi and Germs, or each one of us individually, Jedi Zog, Germs Guy, or Torn by Devin. You can find us and listen to all of our episodes at blogtalkradio.com/Jedi and Germs. We're on Facebook at Jedi and Germs, Stitcher and iTunes, Jedi and Germs. Get at us. We enjoy the feedback, and yeah, we love the questions you keep throwing at us. So keep bringing them. Thank you all for joining us. Have a good night, a good week, and we'll talk to you next week. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.